Well, good morning, church. I know I have my back to you. Pardon me for that. But in the theme and in the series of Who is Your One, if I'm not careful, I'll kind of slur who's, or it may sound like who's your one or something weird as well. So I'm going to slow down where you can understand what I'm saying. But in the context of this campaign, our sermon series, we're going to look today at setting godly boundaries that God, I think, calls us to set. And we're going to look at sort of an unusual experience in the life of Jesus from Mark chapter 1. And this is actually, we're going to look at a time when Jesus said no. And that might be a little alarming to us because we expect him to always say yes to the needs and demands of people. But in this situation today, he actually said no. I'm going to begin in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, and we're going to go through 38. But actually, verses 32 through 38 will serve as the core verses of our time today, but the other verses sort of give us a context of what we're looking at this morning. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people who were also, they were there, they were so amazed, and they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people began to bring to Jesus all who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So we see this opportunity where Jesus says no to the people momentarily of Capernaum. And we all know, as we think about boundaries, that life comes at us fast, that life passes very quickly, and we have opportunities almost daily, at least daily, to make choices that will impact our life. Last Friday, I had an interesting phone call from my niece, and we have a picture of my niece. Her name is Sarah, and there's Sarah. She is a freshman at Indiana State University. She was on fall break last weekend. She had Friday and a long weekend for fall break, and she called me on Friday and said, "Uncle Don, I'm home for fall break. I want you and Miss Bambi to go with me and my family to Joe Huber's, where we can go and pick pumpkins and have a great day at Joe Huber's." The fact is, I already had plans for Saturday. And I'm like, oh no, I'm in this moment of choice, this moment of decision. And yes, Sarah won out. I had to cancel some other plans in order to say yes to her. And we went, we had a great time, that 6 hours of spending that time together as a family, even paying for probably a high-priced chicken dinner, was well worth the opportunity to feed the ducks and to feed the things and to walk through the pumpkin patch and to do all those things together. And that afternoon, that Saturday, as Bambi and I drove home, we knew without a shadow of a doubt that we had made the right choice. For us, time sort of stood still in that moment where we could almost kind of reach out and grab those moments. And you know what I'm talking about as well. And that'll be a memory in our scrapbook as a family that we will never forget. But in the yes to Sarah, there was a no. And I'm not going to share with you what the no was, but life is like that. It seems like every yes we have, there is a no that goes along with it. For instance, tonight, you can say yes to another episode of Netflix, but you might be saying no to 25 more minutes of sleep. You know, as a family, you can say yes to travel ball, whatever the sport may be, and in that yes, you're probably saying no to some relaxing Saturday afternoons at home and some different practices during the night as well that'll take away from family time. You can say yes to a work promotion, which would provide financial provision for your family, but it might be saying no to being home on Tuesday or Thursday nights. So I think a lot of us, as we think about the yeses and the no's that we have, we can see that almost in every yes, there's a no. As we take an opportunity, we're probably taking away from something else that we could be doing that might be as important as well. And we're given these choices day in and day out. And in fact, sometimes we can enjoy, it's possible to enjoy the sound of the yes so much that we can almost yes ourselves to death to the point that our lives are consumed by saying yes to all the opportunities that come our way. In preparing for our sermon today, I've been reading a book on boundaries called Boundaries. And in this book, one of the principles is shared, and I think this is really good. There's three things, three principles that he shares pretty quickly in the early chapters. First of all, I can do anything. I cannot do everything, and I choose to do some things. And we articulate the things we choose to do through our yes or through our no. And I think even Paul, in a small way, reiterates this point over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, he's talking about a specific issue he's dealing with at the church of Corinth, but he says this, that, you know, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is what? Not everything is beneficial. And in life, isn't it that way so many times that there are things that are permissible for me, but they're not necessarily beneficial? I'm going to show you another picture. I'm going to show you a picture of Judah. And Judah is our little family pet. He's our beagle. And yes, he is very cute. And he's pretty stubborn. And his nose, N-O-S-E, not N-O, motivates him greatly. So we rescued him, or there was an organization that provides, you know, rescue puppies, and we adopted him as a rescue. And we could pretty well say Judah had no boundaries as his early days as well. But something in our house that we have this thing called an invisible fence, which is a pet containment system. In fact, we actually purchased this in 1996, so maybe a testimonial for the longevity of the product. But it's something we have enjoyed over the years with three different pets. So we had Judah. He was old enough to understand the concept, we thought. And in creating the boundary for him, we're actually creating freedom. We're providing grace within that boundary. And I think you probably know the drill, but if you have one of these systems, you have these series of flags. And they're in a circle around your yard, and it looks like utility construction gone bad, doesn't it? Because they're everywhere, and they're kind of annoying if you're my neighbor when we're having these. So we had all our flags set up, And then you take two flags and you take your dog, in our case Judah, on a lead, and you go to the flags and you go, Judah, no, 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 no. And he's just sitting there looking at you like, what are you doing? No, 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 no. Because what his sense of smell is so strong, he almost smells more than he hears. So he's smelling something, and he's going to go toward his nose as well. So next step is, a week later, after you've done this for a while, you get the receiver collar. You know, it's got the little prongs on it. And you take the receiver, and it makes that little warning noise like beep, 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 which means in about 2 seconds, you're really going to get a bad shock. So we'd take him there. Listen, Judah. No, 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 no. And we would try. We're really compassionate doggy owners. So you know how they learn, unfortunately. I hate to say this. You're going to call PETA or somebody on me. So, you know, he took the shock, you know, bang, he took the shock. And then he's like, oh, the flags are for me. Like, I get it. Now, when I go to the flags, this beep goes off. And if I don't back up, I'm going to get this shock and boom. And he learned pretty quickly. But I will say, like, a couple days later, he was afraid to go away from like 2 yards from the house because he's like, something is out there that's going to shock me and I do not understand what it is. And for a while, we had to drag him. No, you're good, man. There's grace in this place. There's grace in this 1 acre. But if you go beyond the boundary, you're going to get it. And we were helping in that moment and in that process, Judah, to discover his no, but also to discover his yes. Because in that boundary, there is great freedom. This morning at 5:30, it's dark, it's cold. We can let him out and he can go do his thing. And we don't have to go out and be with him at all. And we know we have faith in him and trust that he's coming back. And trust me, if Bambi's your mom, you're coming back. So he comes back as well. So as we look at our passage today, in a like similar way, we understand that Jesus understood the value of yes and no. On more than one occasion, he said this. We find it in Matthew 5:7. He would say, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. In other words, explain and share with people clearly what your intentions are. Don't waffle between two opinions or leave people kind of in a lurch wondering what you're thinking. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And if I was going to title the scripture passage we were talking about this morning, I would probably say something like it was the time that Jesus said no to helping the citizens in Capernaum. We're going to engage the scripture now. We've read the scripture, but really not engaged it. And we're going to look at verse 32 of Mark chapter 1. The scripture says this, that evening at sundown, our sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. So we see that Jesus has had a really long day of ministry. We saw earlier he had taught in the synagogue. He had healed individuals, you know, Peter's mom. And he had also been casting out demons. So he had had this really long day, but it didn't end there. So we find out in verse 33, it says this, that the whole town gathered at the door where he was staying, and Jesus continued to heal many who had various diseases, who also had drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. And we could say without a shadow of a doubt, this was a long day of ministry for Jesus. You know what? Usually after a long day of ministry for me, I kind of just want to go home and be quiet and be alone and rest. And I bet there was a part of Jesus that wanted that. But man, can you imagine if you went home and everybody came to your house? And that's what happened here. He was not at his home, but another home. And the whole town gathered and they were longing to know who he was, to be touched by him, to be loved by him, and to be healed by him. And he had this exhausting day. But in the midst of this exhausting day, something very important happens. It's in verse 35. And I think this is a very crucial moment in our text today. When Jesus goes to bed that night, you know what he does? He sets his alarm clock for what? For earlier. He gets an early wake-up call because he knew he needed to spend some quiet time with his Father God. It says and very early in the morning, while it was still dark, that Jesus got up, he left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What is Jesus doing? He is creating a boundary. He said, hey, I had a long day yesterday, and I need to be quiet. I need to spend time with God so I can pray, so I can refocus, I can refresh, and I can understand what my next step is in God's plan for my life. But verse 36 tells us it didn't last very long, did it? Simon and his companions went looking for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Where are you? Everyone's looking for you. What are you doing? So just within a few moments, Jesus is met by the demands of the people, the pressure of the people, and we feel that sometimes as well. Have you ever had an opportunity where you said to yourself, I'm going to take 1 hour or some period of time, and I'm just going to meet with God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get quiet before Him. I'm going to open the Scriptures, and I'm going to allow Him to speak. And then what happens? You get a text message. You get a phone call. You have people pressuring you, maybe even for good things, in order to kind of interfere with the time that you have. Or else you go away for 3 days on a spiritual experience or retreat, a discipleship opportunity, and you have emails and people waiting for you in the midst of that time, or even when you get back as well. And we see that this was happening to Jesus. So in the midst of the pressure, if you will, from Simon and the others, we find his response in verse 38. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come. So he traveled throughout the area of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So we see in this moment that Jesus is actually saying no to the opportunity in Capernaum and to go on to other villages where he can also teach and preach and minister to others as well. For us, and I think in that situation for Jesus, saying no is a humble admission of my limitedness. Saying no is a humble admission of my limitedness. You know what? And I want to be really careful about what I'm about to say. Jesus, in his nature, he was fully God and fully man. Being fully God meant he was unlimited in power. He was holy, perfect, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And sometimes we can struggle between understanding him being deity, Jesus being deity, fully God, or his humanity being fully man. But in his humanity, Jesus was limited. Jesus got tired. Jesus, he needed a snack from time to time. He needed to eat. He was thirsty. He had this earth suit of his was like our earth suit. It was a burden on him to a certain extent, and he had certain limitations. Could he heal through the power of God? Absolutely. But yet Jesus could only be, what, in one place at one time. If Jesus was in Bethlehem, he could not be in Capernaum. It was impossible for that. So he faced certain limitations. And it was important for him to take those quiet moments with God to understand and fully fulfill God's purpose, his mission for his life. And his mission was saying yes to going to another place, to another village, in order to preach and teach to those individuals as well. You know, we normally view our limitations as weakness. We don't talk too much about our weaknesses, our limitations. I had a student ask me this week, well, what's one of your weaknesses as a leader? And it was like, whoa, that's kind of a hard question, but it's a great, sincere question as well. And it's important for us to kind of have these sober self-assessments of who we are and to understand the areas that we're weak and limited, in order maybe to allow other people who are strong in those areas to flourish in those areas where if I flourish in an area that's not truly my gift set, I will not be as fulfilled and as accomplished as much as someone else as well. But it's important for us to have a healthy view of our limitations. You know, all of us, we are created in the image of God, and we can become, John chapter 1, the children of God, but we, however, are not God. And with that context in mind, we are limited, and there are certain limitations that we have and have to understand as well. Let me share one more quick example with you where Jesus said no. Over in Luke chapter 12, there's this situation where Jesus is ministering to the crowd, and in verses 13 through 15, we don't have it up, but I'll read it to you. This man approaches Jesus and says, "Teacher, Jesus, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that? But rather beware and guard against every kind of greed, for life is not measured by how much you own." So we see Jesus being pressured by this individual coming up to him and saying, "Hey, my parents died, my dad had died, and I have this brother who's not in sharing an equal share with me. You know, you need to help me. You need to intervene in this conflict." And in this moment, Jesus said, "No, not at all. But maybe you need to check your heart. Maybe you need to have a talk and a relationship with your brother and understand where you guys are, because there might be that greed and jealousy are a part of that relationship." And in this moment, when Jesus had that response to that individual, he was saying no, but saying no allowed that individual and that person to carry their own load. And that's true for us today. When we say no to others, we allow people in some situations to carry their own load. No, God has given us all responsibilities, and he's made us responsible to others to a certain degree, but he's also given us the opportunity to share what we have and help other people in situations, but not take the burden from them completely. I'll give you an example. In Awana, which is a children's program we have for those from like 3 years up to fifth grade, they have a disciples handbook, a discipleship handbook, and every week the Awana students complete another unit in that handbook. Now, as leaders and as parents, we want to help our children, help our students with our handbooks, but we don't want to complete their handbooks for them, do we? If they're in a difficult spot, we want to help, but we don't want to take that responsibility away from them because they're age appropriate and they can do the work, they can do the scripture memory, they can do the Bible study, they can do all the things that are contained within that book, and our students are capable and need to take responsibility even though they might need help in certain difficult spots that we call helps from time to time. I think an example comes from Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read a couple of verses from this. I may read all of it. Galatians chapter 6 helps us to see the balance between these two. Paul writes this, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Now listen to this. Verse 2 is important. "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves." Verse 4, "Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else." And verse 5, "For each one should carry their own load." So we see in verses 2 and verses 5, we see a comparison, and the two may seem a bit contradictory. We see the word burden, and we see the word load. Those are two separate words in the Greek, and let me explain them. The word burden and the word load are two separate things. We are to carry each other's burdens, but we're not to carry each other's loads. First of all, what is the burden? A burden defined by the book I'm reading would be like a heavy load. A heavy load that would be like a crisis event in someone's life. A load that actually is too heavy for a person to carry alone. That experience might be that of a death of a loved one. It might be some tragic event. It may be going through grief. It may be going through a divorce. And in that situation, in that crisis or tragedy, an individual needs help carrying that big boulder, that big burden, you know, for a period of time because they need help to carry that through. On the other side, a load is a lighter weight. It is almost like a weight or the capacity of a backpack. And each of us have a daily responsibility to live for the Lord, and He gives us responsibilities, per se, on our backpack that each of us can handle. Now, this week, my load has been preparing to preach, and I enjoy that, but it's a load that I have to carry. I could not go to someone else and say, hey, will you carry my load? I'm going to preach this week. Could you carry my load and come do it for me? It's something that I have to do individually that God has actually given me through His Spirit, the power of the gift set and the opportunity to do. And God has given each of us a load, and also from time to time we face certain burdens. This week, I have helped, and some of you have helped, individuals carry different burdens. On Tuesday, it may have been Wednesday, Catherine Cox passed away. And a lot of us know Catherine. She was 99 years old, just a few days from being 100, and a lady who is dearly loved by all of us, lived in this community, served in this church for years and years. She passed away. We have helped the family by being a part of that burden for them, that burden of death and grief. We will go Monday, we will go Tuesday, and help that family through that difficult experience. We'll also go beyond just a couple days, but that is a burden that's somewhat temporary in nature, where we become a side individual that we love and care about and help them through difficulties. In a similar way, Friday morning, the LaGrange Police Department called me about 7 a.m. and said, Don, we would like for you to make a death notification on Cedar Springs Parkway. There was a death of an individual. It was natural causes, but yet the family, they were there grieving. And as a chaplain, I go and I try to make some assessments, and I try to find the helping network that can be best able to help that family during that time of grief. I try to carry that burden, but they really don't know me, so it's sort of like a partial carry on my part. But I'm trying to connect them and network them with people that understand, that know, that care, that love, that'll make the meals, that'll make the calls, that'll be involved as well. And that's what we do during times when people are going through burdens. But our loads are something that God has given us the power through His Spirit to take individually and to live life day to day, to deal with the ups and downs, the emotions that we feel, the opportunities that we have that He brings our way, and that's what I would determine as our loads. And thinking about the difference between our burdens and our loads, I would make this statement, that we are, in terms of burdens, we are responsible to others, but we are not responsible for others. We are responsible to others, but we are not responsible for others. And I hope you can see that boundary that we're casting as well. Because some of us can have people in our lives that would desire for us to carry their load. You know what I'm talking about? There's people that, like, they could actually carry their load, but if I would carry their load for them, they would let me do it in a heartbeat. And we have to understand kind of the balance there between what a burden is and what a load is in order to help a person understand what God wants them to be and to take responsibility for what He's called them to be. But we have to be really careful there in terms of setting boundaries for ourselves as well. So very good. I would also say, related to that, that saying no, the next point would be, reminds me there is good to do, but it's not all for me to do. Let me say that again. It reminds me that there is good to do, but it's not always for me to do? You know, at times I'll feel a disconnect. I will say yes to something. And while I'm in the midst of that, and I'm not talking about like job responsibilities or things with my family, but I'll say yes to something. Maybe it's on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm really wishing I'm doing something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, and ministers, we get this really clearly. Like, I have been should or ought into maybe doing something, but really, man, I wish I was doing this other thing. And another good thing to help people, not just maybe, you know, doing something just selfishly, but to do something else as well. And sometimes we need to evaluate, you know, the choices that we have to determine what would be the inferior choice for me and what would be the greater choice. And we can see this, that Jesus understood his purpose, and by understanding his purpose, he could make the decision between going back to Capernaum, which he did. He went back later in the moment, and going to the other villages to preach and teach. Because really, the greatest thing that Jesus could do, a good thing would be a changed body. I would love for Jesus to help me with my knee right now. But the better thing would be a changed heart and changed life, right? I mean, healing a body, that's a major wow thing. But changing a life was his real purpose and his real mission. And he knew if he did not go to the other villages, they would never hear, never know, never understand, never receive the message of salvation that he had come to do so. So for Jesus, healing was a good thing, but sharing about the love of God, the message of salvation, the reason he had come, was better. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 4, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And we see his purpose right there. And you know what? You and I do this in my life from time to time, we can allow the good to eclipse the best. We can allow good to eclipse the best. In fact, we can also say that there's times in our life when good can be the enemy of the best. Because once again, the good for Jesus would have been the healing of the people of Capernaum, but the best would be to go to the villages and to share the message of salvation with those who hadn't heard in those other villages. Finally, saying no allows me to say yes to the things that matters most. And this is the one that really gets me, because there's always this moment of choice. This moment of choice where I receive the email, I receive the text, I receive the call. We don't ask in person a whole lot anymore, I don't know. But I'll get that, you know, he'd be in that moment of choice. And, you know, my nature is to be a people pleaser. I want you to like me. You know, please like me. And sometimes wanting you to like me, I will say yes to things that are probably good, but not the best. And sometimes if we're not careful in our flesh, in order to please each other, we might say yes to an inferior choice instead of choosing what's best. Does that make sense? I hope it does. It, you know, I tell you, at Christmas, I'm reminded like this at all. At Christmas, do you get like every night you can go do something? You can go to the concert. Oh no, I'm lost. You can go to a concert. You can go to this. You can go to that. And you can do whatever, all these things. And a lot of times you feel like, well, I really need to go. I feel committed. I feel obligated. I'll hurt that person's feeling. Where you really might be better served to take one of the nights and just say, hey, we're just going to stay home tonight. I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax. I want to be fully aware and in the moment of this season to maybe focus on Jesus and on the spiritual aspect of how I can experience him this Christmas in a new and in a better way as well. Kind of getting ahead of myself a couple months. But sometimes in the moment of choice, we have to evaluate and not just seek the affirmation of others. Of course, Jesus, in saying no to Capernaum, was saying yes to going other places and to preaching the word as well, and to be faithful to the mission and purpose that he had. Kind of going back to last Saturday for our family, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that saying yes to my niece and family to go to Joe Huber's was the experience that I should have chosen. Because, you know, when you make that choice and you have this agreement, and when you feel that peace and you feel that joy and that contentment in that moment, you just have that affirmation that I did the right thing. I chose my family this time. I chose a good thing. These little moments, maybe with my niece that I won't have very much anymore, to invest in her, to kind of, you know, continue to cultivate that relationship. And we have that moment that we know that that God is with us, and we feel affirmed in that. As we kind of come into the finish line this morning, it's Ironman. I had to say that, didn't I? I had to say finish line. I don't know. And by the way, I know some of you, it was hard getting here, maybe more difficult getting home. And thank you for sacrificing whatever it took to get here this morning for that. But let me say this, as we're going to think about yeses and nos, as we think about our lives, and we think about who's your one. I haven't forgot about that either. The most important yes that I can make, the most important yes you can make, is the yes to the invitation that Jesus offers to you and offers to me of salvation. You and I are offered a salvation, a personal relationship, the opportunity to know God in a personal way, and you can say yes to Him today. And if you're in that process, you're in that place, you're figuring all that out, and you say, well, I'm not quite there, but man, I'm really interested. Allow me or our staff or others to help you in that process. We want to come alongside of you and pray for you and encourage you. We're not going to make your decision. That is your responsibility. But we can certainly share with you the holy, the godly, the transforming difference that God has made in our lives, and we desire to see Him make that in your life as well. So this morning, first of all, we have to understand our most important yes is trusting Jesus. But today there may be some things that God has brought to your mind that maybe you need to say no to. Maybe there's some boundaries that you need to make in some relationships. And we could apply the boundary thought to a lot of different facets of our life. But today maybe God has laid upon your heart this clear no that you need to state. And that needs to look like no to something and yes to more time somewhere else as well. In thinking about our one, and this is where we'll conclude today. I heard some of this last Sunday night, and I think it's just excellent. I don't know how many of you have chosen your one yet. I know some of you have because I see the testimony on the board, or as we leave on that board out there, and I like that. And I thank you for doing that, and more of us are doing that and in the process of that as well. But if you haven't chose your one in that selection process, maybe this will help us. Ask the question, who is the one person, who is the one person you love the most who does not know the Lord? Who is the person you love the most who does not know the Lord? And who knows, that may bring clarity to you as you pick and choose who your one will be. And in a way of application, as we prepare to say yes to our ones, think about these five factors. And they all begin with the letter F. As we begin to prepare to say yes to my one and to be ready to share Jesus with them, first of all, we need to be, the first F is fast. We need to be aware of windows of opportunities to engage with that individual. You know, when God is creating maybe a divine or a God moment, we'll have that opportunity to act upon that and to be ready for that. So the first F is fast. Second, we should be focused, okay? This sort of captures the priority of witnessing, of knowing the gospel. If I'm going to share Christ with my one, I need to be able to share with them the gospel. And we can help you, and it's probably happening on Sunday mornings already, with tools and resources for you, where there's the three circles, there's all kind of opportunities that we can have and tools we can have in order to share the gospel with our one. And we can help you with that too. The third F is I need to be flexible. I need to be flexible. I need to be ready for emerging opportunities. I'm praying, Lord, give me the opportunity, make the moment right for me to have the opportunity to share with my one and just make that clear. And we need to kind of lean in and listen and be open to those opportunities. The fourth one, and I think this is really important, we need to be friendly. For our one, we need to be the first choice for help, right? We need to be, oh, something breaks, I'm calling Don. Something breaks, I'm calling Chris. Whoever your one is or whatever it might be, if I need help, my one is going to be the one I call because I know my one cares about me. There's a relationship that you have earned together, if you will, in order for them to feel comfortable enough with you to call you to ask for help. Because all of us, we just know how things happen in our lives and we need each other. And all of us need each other. And as we're friendly, as we have that relationship, that becomes that bridge over which we can share the gospel. And the last F is fun. Just experience some joyful, winsome moments and celebrate with your one and however that might happen. It could happen over a cup of coffee or it could happen in a lot of different ways. But understand who your one is so well that you can create opportunities where you can have fun together and through all those things that God can do His redemptive work through the life of that one person you've chosen. Our invitation this morning is simply this. First of all, we always want to provide the opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus, to a relationship with Him, and give you the opportunity to know Him in a personal way. And even if you're in that path of doing that, and sometimes it happens differently for all of us, but we want to help you understand how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. Talk to me, talk to Pastor Tony, talk to Pastor Neil, talk to Pastor Bronson, and a lot of others too. It just doesn't have to be a pastor. I look out here and I see about 30 of you I could mention as those you could talk to. And today, if the Lord is calling you to say no to something, maybe a relationship of some sort or some aspect of your life, would you pray and work through that? I know sometimes it takes a process. Well, if I say no to that, I'm going to have to reorient quite a few things. And it may take you a while to process how that'll happen. And I want to pray for you and encourage you in that. And if I can help you in any way, we want to do that as well. And thirdly, it would be saying yes to my one, saying yes to the person that's on my heart, that I'm focused, that I'm going to be intentional about, and to be ready and to be flexible, and all the F's I've said, to be ready to share and minister with him as well. And I know the sermon series is going to continue, and Pastor Tony's going to give us more ways to be ready for that as well. So why don't we close our eyes, let's pray, and as we pray, our worship team can come and prepare us for our invitation. Father, we are so thankful for your loving grace that you have bestowed upon us. And Father, even when we consider that Jesus said no from time to time, it may be a little bit of a shocker, but yet Jesus had boundaries. And Father, in our lives, we are faced with so many good decisions, but yet, Father, you have given us a special call and a special mission that is universal to Christians, but individual based upon our gift sets. And may we understand who you are, who you've called us to be, and what you desire for us to be. We also pray, Father, if there's no's in our life, if there's places that we need to close some doors on, that you would give us grace and direction and wisdom in how to do that, that we can lovingly minister to those that might be in the crosshairs of that, but yet, Father, for our own good, for our own effectiveness, and for kingdom's work, to be faithful to you. And we also pray today, Father, for that one person that we are committed to sharing the gospel with, that you would be in this moment preparing their heart and preparing us to share your message of salvation with them. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.